On the line now, I have Fintan Lawler, solicitor and residence, to answer your queries from Lawler Partners. Hello, good morning, Fintan. How are you?
Good morning, Noel. How's the form? Are you well?
Not too bad at all. Some interesting queries in from our listeners this week. The first one: I agreed with a neighbour to buy their parents' house. I gave them a deposit of 3,000. They've told me that they want to put it back on the open market and have given me back my deposit. I thought a deposit secures the property.
That's a good question. No, the deposit will secure a contract or a commitment normally on foot of a contract. It's unusual in that they have now got their neighbour, so they didn't involve an auctioneer from what you're saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, normally you'd have an auctioneer, and the auctioneer would take a booking deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And that booking deposit is 100% refundable.
Okay.
When it comes to a contract stage and they pay the remainder of the deposit, you're then bound into a contract. In which case, if you're bound into a contract, then you can't do anything about it. At that stage, your deposit is at risk.
Mm-hmm.
But in this respect, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to hold that person to a contract on that basis.
Yeah, and I'm sure that would reverse would be true there. If they had changed their mind and said, give me my deposit back, I'm sure that the people selling the house, the neighbours, would have happened to give them back their deposit. Would that be fair to say? It works both
ways.
Yeah,
it's a bit disappointing, though. I mean, if you have an arrangement with somebody and you have an agreement, and the agreement is that, you know, that you're going to do a deal, you're going to buy the property, you have agreed a price, everybody's mm-hmm. happy with it. In that respect, you'd hope that they'd honour the agreement, but in this circumstance, for whatever family arrangement or whatever reason, they've decided that they're now not going to stick with the deal, that the deal is going to change and they want to go to the open market. I mean, it is their prerogative, but technically speaking, generally speaking, the deposit follows the event. The deposit will secure something for you, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like if you're buying clothes and you put a deposit, or buying a couch in Ireland, you put a deposit on it, like generally you're securing it that it can't be sold to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of a deposit. Because other than that, somebody says, well, I'm very interested in it, but what's to say that you're going to come back and buy it? So in those circumstances, that deposit secures. But I think in the property market here at the moment, in relation to that particular payment, mm-hmm. I don't think that's of any security on it.
Okay, I mean, you could get a receipt and all that for the 3 grand, but that's more or less a gentleman's agreement. And in property these days, I don't think that holds any water at all.
No, the property certainly changed. No, it seems that it's very hard to get rental accommodation. It's mm-hmm. usually very hard to get a price on accommodation. The property market is booming. The property prices seem to be going up. I mean, some people are talking about the creation of a further bubble.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know where it's going to go.
Okay.
But like that, people, I think that the honour has gone out for a wee bit.
Okay. Looks that way.
The neighbours did a deal on that. They should have followed through with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's a bidding war out there, so that takes all sort of honour out the window as well, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, there's no harm in them going back to them and seeing, you know, could they agree another price? Like if they want to go to the market and if they want to try and get themselves let's just say that I don't know what the purchase price was, but if they're hoping for another 5 or 10,000 euros, the neighbour could approach and say, listen, you know, if you think that there's another 10,000 in it, mm-hmm. I'm happy to pay another 10,000.
Yeah.
If that'll secure the property, I mean, that might be enough to do it. I mean, the vendors have to consider the fact that they will have to pay auctioneer's fees in relation to the sale of a property. Some auctioneers can charge 2%. Some auctioneers can charge 1.5%.
Yeah.
But your average house, I'd say, no, probably nowadays is maybe 350,000 euros or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. And 1.5% of that is close to 5,000 euros.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the VAT on top of that, which is another 23%, which is another 1,000 euros, which is 6,000 euros. So there's savings there if they do want to do a deal with the neighbour, mm-hmm. rather than going back onto the open market. So, I mean, it needs to be considered closely.
Okay, a bit of negotiation maybe wouldn't go astray, so that's the best way to approach it, I suppose. Okay, a second question now. What are the new tax thresholds after the budget? Yeah, there was a few changes there, wasn't there, Fintan?
Yeah, well, just on the budget there, no, there was a change there, certainly in relation to the Class A, which is a big change, but I think it was a very derisory change in that respect. I think I've explained this before to the listeners, which is very important,
mm-hmm.
that previously the Class A threshold used to be in excess of 450,000 euros. And just to explain to the listeners, what a Class A threshold is the amount a child can receive from their parent without paying tax.
Yes.
So they are exempt from tax up to, or used to be exempt from tax at one stage, up to €450,000. And every amount they secured after that was at a rate of 20%. And what happened then, Noel, in the recession is that the government needed to get more money into the coffers. So they reduced that 450,000, and it came down quite radically to somewhere in the region of 275,000. It's on its way back up. But there was a double whammy because they reduced the threshold and they increased the tax. So the threshold went down to, as I say, 285,000 or thereabouts, but the tax went from 20% to 33%.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a remarkable difference because, first of all, you can inherit 200 grand less, but secondly, you're paying 13% more tax than you previously thought you were paying. Now, I know that some of the politicians have been labouring quite hard that given the property prices and the increase in the property prices and how they've gone, that they need to be considered. The property prices have now gone back up, so consideration has to be given to the threshold, for the threshold to go back up. Because at the moment, the threshold is €320,000 for a child, and that increased in the budget from €310,000. And that means that if you have a property now with one child left and the property is called at €1 million and there's one child, you're paying tax on €700,000.
Wow.
At 33%. And I just have a calculator here, so it's 33% is €700,000. €700,000, that's about 231,000 euros in tax.
So you could be, if you're an only child, you could be inheriting a debt rather than an asset.
You could be inheriting a debt, and the difficulty, and this happened before, which is why they moved the threshold up, the difficulty is that that child now can't afford to inherit their house. So they have to sell that house in order to pay the tax on the house. Now, I know I've taken a very high price there, I'm taking a property worth €1 million, but I'm going to just go for a property worth €620,000. The threshold, as we know, is €320,000 since the 10th of October. That means that you have a balance of €300,000 as profit, and if you tax that at 33%, it's €99,000.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of people aren't going to be in a position to pay €99,000 in relation to tax, and may have to sell that property in order to deal with the tax. There was no change to the Group B or Group C, no, which was a disappointment, and are very, very low. So again, some of your listeners may be aware that the Group B is, if you want to give an inheritance or a gift to a parent or brother or sister, a niece or nephew or grandparent or grandchild. So basically you have to kind of consider lineal here and all. So lineal up or lineal down. So going up the food chain, is there a parent or a grandparent? And going down, is there a brother or sister or a nephew or niece or, you know. And that threshold is 32,500.
Wow.
And that has been the threshold since 2016. So it's a very small amount of money. So if you have a child who'd like to give their parent a house, the parent can only inherit 32,500 without paying tax. They have to pay tax on the balance of the money or the value of the property at 33%.
I'm
very,
just
thinking.
Very,
very
honest. No, it all comes into my mind. Someone was talking about a famous, I think he was a footballer anyway, and he's either a footballer or pop star, which is more or less the same these days. But his mother still lives in the council house that she had for all the years of him growing up. And I'm saying to myself, if that's the way the tax is, I'm not surprised that he didn't buy her a house. A lot of people say they wouldn't imagine he'd buy her a house, but not if they're going to be taxed on 32,000. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous low threshold. The other group then known as Group C, and that's for a stranger. So that's for a stranger in blood. So if you're not covered by Group A, which is the parent-child, or Group B, which is the brother, sister, nephew, niece, uncle, aunt type scenario, then you're considered a stranger from a blood relation point of view, and that threshold is 16,250. And again, that hasn't changed since 2016.
Okay.
And again, it's quite low. You know,
but can I ask you, would you put charity in the category of stranger?
So no, good. Funny enough, the charities, they have done that right, and it's always been right, that the charities don't pay tax.
Okay.
So if you give your money to charity, that is one way of avoiding paying tax to the revenue commissioners. a charitable quest is non-taxable, so you don't pay tax on the charity.
Okay.
But they really do need to look very closely at the parent-child relationship, given the values of property that they're now going back to. It means nearly any child, as you say, Noel, that you're getting punished by inheriting your parents' family home, mm-hmm. and some people won't be able to live in it. If they inherit it, they'll have to sell it in order to pay tax, which is wrong.
Mm-hmm. And even if the inheritance is spread out with two or three, I think a lot of people, when they were looking at the tax changes, they saw a bit of an increase of the allowance, but they didn't look at the back lot of the 33%, gone up to 33% from 20.
No, it's helpful if it's spread, but you're only looking at a property there. I mean, mm-hmm. people don't think that they have any money, certainly when I'm doing wills.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come in and say, well, I don't have anything, just a house. And I said, okay. And I said, you don't have a car? I said, well, I do. I have a car there. I drove in and it's okay. Well, that's mm-hmm. okay. And do you have any jewellery maybe? Oh, well, yeah, I've gathered up bits and jewellery over the years. Okay, very good. And do you maybe have a post office account or a bank account? Well, yeah, I suppose my pension goes into it, you know. And all of a sudden they have a car and they have jewellery and they have a post office account and they have a bank account and they have a pension and they might have a bit of antique furniture or a nice painting or something that they were handed down from their parents. So mm-hmm. all of a sudden these stuff can be forgotten if you're not making a will
mm-hmm.
or if you think, I only have the house. So, I mean, that's the value of the house. But when you put value on all of the other bits and pieces, it doesn't be long adding up.
Yeah, people should sit down and contemplate, and you should have a will made anyway, even if they're young. Start off young and get it updated every so often, but they should sit down and consider what they have, because they don't realise the assets they have until they do something like that. Okay, last question, Fintan. I don't know, it seems to be more of a modern thing now, I'm not sure, but if things have sort of been changed or skewed in any way. But let's say, for instance, you've got four siblings have been living outside the family home for a long time, and then one of them has been renting, the other three own the houses, just for argument's sake, and one has to come home because can't afford to rent anymore or whatever. He doesn't want to end up on the street, so he goes back to the parents. But eventually the parents die and he's left in the house on his own. And the house is up for an equal share with all the kids. How does he stand if an equal share for the siblings? And they say, well, we want to sell. So he ends up with a quarter of the house, obviously, but on the streets if necessary, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good question, Noel. And I've met it before, because it is a situation that does arise, particularly after the recession, where somebody maybe had a property that was repossessed by the bank and they're back home, or a marital situation has broken down
mm-hmm.
and they're back home. And then in some cases that the person has never left home. So it's not like they're returning back home, but they're simply there at 40 years of age when the parents pass away.
Mm-hmm. Does the length of
the question...
Sorry, just to put it into a certain connotation as well, where you've said maybe someone hasn't left home at all. So would the length of time someone has lived in the child has lived in the house, now an adult, of course, make any difference? Like if they've come back maybe 6 years, but or someone...
It might help them from a threshold point of view.
Okay.
You can kind of have something like that there may be something that they can get out there if they were getting the property themselves. And they had been living in it for a certain period of years and they didn't own a separate house, but that you'd have to get specialised advice on that.
Okay.
They may be able to get something on that. But in the general run of it, I mean, if a parent leaves a house to the four children in equal shares, well, then they're each entitled to a shareholding in the house, and we call this house a house worth €400,000.
Mm-hmm.
It means that everybody's entitled to €100,000 out of the property.
Mm-hmm.
It means they're not going to pay tax because they're under a threshold of €320,000, but they're entitled to their €100,000. So if one sibling is sitting in the house or is living in the house and doesn't want to sell it, it means that the other three siblings can't then realise their inheritance or the value from the estate, which is obviously €100,000 mm-hmm. each. And they may have children that they want to send to school or to college, or they may want to renovate their own houses, or they may want to put a conservatory on or convert an attic or something. And they may be relying on the inheritance that's coming their way in order to do that. So it's not, I suppose, fair that one party will sit in the house and say, well, I don't want to sell because it doesn't suit me to sell, thereby not facilitating the other three parties getting their €100,000 each.
Okay.
With that said, it'd be dreadful to see a family falling out or something like that. So you'd probably see, is there any way at all that they could reach a resolution or sort the issue out between them? Possibly with him maybe taking a mortgage on the house for €300,000,
mm-hmm.
in which case they each get their €100,000 and he gets to stay in the house. Possibly if he can take out a mortgage for half that and agree to pay some of the other people the remaining amount by direct debit or over a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
Can he do something like that? So it's areas he'll have to explore.
Okay.
But ultimately, if the other three people want their inheritance, they're probably entitled to have it.
Okay. Because I'm running out of time. Is there any precedent for it? Because I think the question's coming in to say, well, if they couldn't get amicable agreement and they went to court, has he a leg to stand on, or she a leg to stand on, to say, well, I don't really think so.
I'm trying to think from a judge's point of view, and the judge would say, well, I mean, I want to protect this person in the house,
mm-hmm.
but by doing it, I'm not facilitating the other three parties, the other mm-hmm. 75% of the beneficiaries, in obtaining their inheritance from their parents.
Okay.
And that's not fair. And if the person who's in the house, I mean, how long are they going to be there? Are they going to be there 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years?
Yes, yeah.
And if they're going to be there for that duration, it means then that the other three siblings aren't going to receive their parents' inheritance. And I'm sure that the parents had intended for the children to take in equal shares, because if they didn't, they would have provided a will to say that it's their mm-hmm. wish and bequest that the house goes to X, which is the person who is stuck for the property, who doesn't have a property,
okay.
that they should then have made a will giving him the house.
Okay.
In which case, then he's kind of obviously his rights and entitlements in relation to staying in the house.
Okay, I suppose it's like the first question, Fintan, with the neighbours and the deposit and all like that. Negotiation, and seeking to come to an amicable agreement, I suppose, is the best way I think you can do in both of those cases.
Yeah, and again, I suppose what we finish with again, Noel, is if the parents wanted that child to have the house, they should have amended their will, given the house to that individual, and then the other three siblings wouldn't be up in arms feeling mm-hmm. that they're being disinherited to the tune of €300,000.
Yeah.
That they look at the will and say, well, it's Mammy's and Daddy's wish that so-and-so got the house, and in that circumstance, there's nothing we can do about it. And if they came to me to make that will, I would be saying, put together a side letter to yeah. the other three siblings to explain the thought process, which is, I understand that the other three people have a house
mm-hmm.
and they're secured and they have security, and that we won't want to see one of our own out on the side of the street, and in that circumstance we are giving him our house,
okay.
so that he doesn't end up homeless or doesn't have the stress of looking for a house, etc., etc.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's really a good idea. So anyways, people should sit down and reflect and have a will made and have all preparations made, and in any case, if there's any disputes, always try negotiations first. That's the best thing. Give us your website, Fintan, please.
Yeah, the website is www.lawlawpartners.ie.
Okay, thank you very much, and look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks' time for the next series of questions. Thank you very much.
Super. Thanks, Noel. Take care.
Bye. And that's Fintan Lawlor from Lawlor Partners.